Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Congratulations on getting through your 9-to-5. Thank you so much for listening. It is The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the brand new Odyssey app. So earlier today, I was out at Chiefs training camp. We'll get to that at some point in the 5 o'clock hour. I want to play these two cuts for you. We were very lucky to be joined by Mike Vernon. He is a college football reporter. He has been all over the news in relation to Kansas over the last year. Rob, correct me if I'm wrong. He was the first to break the Jeff Long story whenever Jeff Long was clearly on the way out at KU. He was first on that story. He was the first one to report everything that was happening with Les Miles. He has been at the forefront of Kansas Jayhawk news over the last 6 to 8 months.
He also had the Leipold news first, too.
He did have that. He came on this show earlier today and said this in relation to KU and the Big Ten.
All right, I'll tell you what. In the last 30 minutes or so, the vibe has started to change on my end. I was all prepared, had all my facts ready to go for you. There's been these rumors all day that KU is headed toward the Big Ten. I kind of dismiss it as message board fodder. I'm starting to hear it from some people who I consider to be pretty reliable, that this thing is imminent. I'm not ready to say it for sure, but I'll tell you what, there's some smoke coming out of Lawrence right now.
So that was the first cut when it comes to Mike Vernon. What we are seeing in conference realignment, yet again, and I don't know why people didn't get this message the first time, is when it comes to conference realignment, there are no friends. You have no allies. No one is looking out for your best interests, so you got to get what's yours. And if you're Kansas and this Big Ten news comes through, and I want to be clear, I do think that Kansas is going to be fine in all of this. Kansas has a strong foothold in a prominent sports television market in Kansas City that attracts eyeballs. They also have a marquee college basketball program that I know that all of this is moved by college football, but acquiring one of the marquee college basketball brands has some cachet. In all of the news that's happened with conference realignment, no team with a great college basketball program has moved. So we could say that college football moves the needle, when I'm not debating that with anybody, but also the schools that have moved ain't been that good at basketball. It's been Nebraska, Missouri, Texas A&M, Rutgers, these aren't marquee basketball programs. One of them is up for grabs. There's not that many marquee college basketball programs that are available, but one of them is up for grabs, and they're going to likely find a landing spot in a good home. The Big Ten, to me, makes a lot of sense. We're talking about a conference that has aligned itself with the Midwest in Indianapolis. We're talking about pretty logical geographical ties. Nebraska's in that conference. Iowa's in that conference. Indiana's in that conference. So we're talking about schools that are within an 8-hour drive of the University of Kansas. So from a geographic standpoint, it makes a lot of sense. If you're the Big Ten, you get a flag that you can place in the Kansas City market, and your network can be shown to a metropolitan as big as Kansas City's. You also add one of the marquee brands in college sports. Think about this. there's not that many marquee brands in college athletics. You know, I love the University of Missouri. They're not marquee in anything. Not anything. Kansas has a brand name. Kansas basketball. It matters. It moves the needle. You're going to be a top five college basketball market because of the University of Kansas. That has some level of cachet. So I don't know if this is going to happen, when it's going to happen. I certainly trust Mike Vernon's reporting. I wouldn't have him on the show if I didn't feel 100% confident in whatever he was going to say. We do know that KU reached out to the Big Ten, and they've had conversations with the Big Ten. And this conference realignment stuff is going to happen very quickly. We saw the last time, whenever the dominoes really started to fall and the pieces started to put itself in place, you can get these deals done pretty quickly if you can be motivated to do so. And I also think, back to the main point, if you're Kansas, you cannot think about anybody else. If you want to make sure that you good, it would be great if K-State and Kansas continue to be in the same conference. I don't know if it's going to be able to play itself out that way. It'd be great if Kansas and Missouri can go back to being in the same conference. We can go back to how it was in the old Big Eight days. That's not realistic for college athletics anymore. So if you're Kansas and you're looking at what your options are right now, it's potentially joining the Big Ten or joining Bob Bowlesby's ideas. Whose side do you want to be on? Let me ask you this. Over the last 10, 15, 20 years, whose side do you want to be on? The Big Ten side of conference realignment or the Big 12 side of conference realignment? It seems like a no-brainer decision to me. I would pick rolling with the Big Ten. They have not led anybody astray so far, and I have a feeling they also wouldn't do that to the University of Kansas. We asked Mike Vernon a pretty simple question. If KU was going to find a landing space, what does that mean for Kansas State?
Told also right away when all of this started to go down that KU would absolutely operate in the best interest of the university. And I took that as basically like they're not going to be committed to keeping K-State around. I don't know what's going to happen to K-State. I do think that, you know, you either have two state universities getting left out or you have one. That might be your option. And so what really hurts the state, you know, sending Kansas to the Big Ten is a pretty great academic conference there. I don't think that that's a net negative. I have a hard time seeing Kansas State land, you know, being that attractive. I'm not sure exactly what they bring. You know, certainly the football program's fine, but you're not really selling tickets or having too many, you know, I don't think it's the most exciting streaming name. So I'm not sure where they end up.
I think there's a lot of things going against K-State in regards to conference realignment. I would say in terms of probably what they would deem to be their second market outside of Manhattan, Kansas, they're the third most popular team in that market. Missouri's more popular in Kansas City than K-State is. Kansas is more popular in Kansas City, so you're the third most attractive television market. It's a smaller campus, smaller university than Missouri and Kansas. I think that factors itself in. So you don't have the television market that Missouri and Kansas both had when it comes to conference realignment. And Missouri has two if you factor in St. Louis. And also, if you're K-State, you don't have the asset that Kansas has in regards to either your football program or your basketball program. I don't know what's going to happen to K-State. If I had to guess, if you want my opinion, I think K-State eventually joins the American Athletic Conference. I think we'll see that conference. So it will be one notch below Big Ten, SEC, Pac-12, ACC, and it will be pretty clear that the American Athletic Conference is the fifth best conference. Now, are we going to see them still called Power 5 conferences? Who knows how the dice are going to kind of settle and what's going to happen. Texas and Oklahoma are not the only two teams to move when it comes to conference realignment. But I'm looking at the remaining schools in the Big 12. A lot of them maybe don't have the sizzle or the pop to join one of these big schools on their own the way that Missouri could, the way that A&M could, the way that Nebraska could, the way that Rutgers, because of the New Jersey market, or Maryland could. So maybe the Pac-12 is really interested in expanding their reach and going more toward the central time zone. We'll see. There really isn't a geographical fit for the Pac-12, but geography hasn't really seemed to matter when it comes to conference realignment. I think we'll see a East and a West division of the American Athletic Conference. That's where I would guess that K-State's going to end up. We'll certainly see what happens. It is a long time until these billion-dollar decisions need to be made. But if I was a K-State fan, I would be very worried about our chances of landing in either the SEC, Big Ten, Pac-12, or the ACC, because I don't think that invite is coming anytime soon. That's the top story today, what Mike Vernon had to say when he was on the show earlier today. If you missed any part of it, check out the podcast page, 610sports.com, also the Odyssey app. Rob, let's get to the other top stories, man.
Okay, now, from the beginning.
And now, the moment you've all been waiting for.
Check it out.
The top stories of the day, every day at 5 o'clock. The hits.
Cue it up.
One.
Let's go.
Well, the top story in Kansas City is things out of Chiefs camp. Earlier today at Chiefs training camp, which you were at, CDOT, Chiefs wide receiver Tyreek Hill was removed from practice for knee tendonitis. Here's Andy Reid with the full injury report from today.
All right, a couple injuries. So Tyreek Hill has a little bit of knee tendonitis. We're just kind of pumped the brakes on it. Just showed up today, so... we backed off him. Juan Thornhill has a groin strain, making progress there. Tarvarius Ward, he had a little eye work done in the offseason. It flared up on him. He got poked in it. So we kept him out of there.
So CDOT, we talked yesterday a lot about Mecole Hardman, and now Tyreek Hill was held out of practice. Do you believe the Chiefs' former second-round pick, Mecole Hardman, can rise to a number two wideout in this league and, if need be the primary receiver option for the Chiefs if Tyreek Hill's injury is serious?
I actually think that's the biggest question right now on their offense. The only other question was the right guard position, but that seems to have been answered with Trey Smith, and we'll talk more about Trey Smith here coming up after the hits. But Mecole Hardman and his development, his growth, and where he factors into the offense, I think is the biggest question right now on this team. I would say it's some combination of Mecole Hardman or who's going to be the corner alongside Snead. I think we at least have the options, but who's going to step up? DeAndre Baker's certainly been given the opportunity. Mike Hughes has also been given the opportunity. But Mecole Hardman's a player that you spent a significant resource on a second-round draft pick. He has certainly flashed when given the opportunity that he's one of the more explosive, dynamic players in the league. But can he take the step from being a 600-yard receiver like he's been so far to being an 800, potentially 900-yard player? We'll see if he can do that this year.
Two.
Well, the biggest story in the National Football League is not the knee tendonitis of Tyreek Hill, but it is an injury, and it's another day of the ends of the week and why, and another Colts player having a foot injury. Today, All-Pro guard Quentin Nelson was announced that he has a foot injury, and he underwent surgery. Carrington, now your quarterback and your All-Pro out for anywhere between 5 to 12 weeks. Is it officially over for the Colts being a threat to the Chiefs?
Rob, cut the beat. I know you probably can't do this right now because you're driving, but I want you to we're just going to have a quick moment of silence for the Indianapolis Colts season. I mean, it died so young. It barely got a chance to live. We're not even at the Hall of Fame game yet, and one team has already been eliminated from the playoffs. It's wild. It's crazy how life works. The Colts were one of the winners of the offseason. Oh, they went out and made a big trade. They got that old fuddy-duddy out of the way in Phillip Rivers, and they picked up the young gun, Carson Wentz. I mean, people were so excited about the Indianapolis Colts. I had Jay Binkley, and you guys know I love myself some Jay Binkley. Bink told me that Kansas City was one, and right there on tier two, all on equal playing field, was Buffalo, Cleveland, and Indianapolis. Well, we can go ahead and pencil in the Indianapolis Colts for 6-11, maybe a good 5-12. Let's just have a quick moment of silence for the Indianapolis Colts. Thank you. They're done. It's over. It's over. Carson Wentz is out for the first 5-6 weeks of the season. Quentin Nelson is out for the first 5-6 weeks of the season. That's not a team that we can count on being competitive this year in the NFL. Can I read to you the Indianapolis Colts schedule, my friend? Can I read to you the first 5 weeks of the season for that team? Seattle, Los Angeles, Tennessee, Miami, Baltimore. You want to know who the quarterback is right now for the Indianapolis Colts? Jacob Eason. Jacob Eason is the starting quarterback for the Indianapolis Colts. They went from maybe being middle of the pack at quarterback to potentially being the worst team in the NFL as starting quarterback. That team might not win a game until Halloween. They're done, Rob. Absolutely done. Put a fork in them. They're done.
Three.
Earlier today, the Sporting News put out an article saying, listing every team in the NFL and the players, their likelihood to make the National Football League. The Kansas City Chiefs featured six players: Travis Kelce, Patrick Mahomes, Tyreek Hill, Chris Jones, Tyrann Mathieu, and Joe Tooney. Now, CDOT, we all believe that Kelce and Mahomes are locks to make the Hall of Fame. But what do you feel about the other four players Sporting News was talking about as far as Hall of Fame viability?
I'm still mad earlier when you insinuated that Jimmy Graham was going to go into the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and I'm not going to let that fly under the radar. I'm not going to let that slide here. You deserve to be mocked relentlessly for arguing that Jimmy Graham's going to go into the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
I didn't insinuate it. I said it's going to be a straight-up fact. He'll make the Hall of Fame.
You mean like the Miami Hall of Fame or the Saints Hall of Fame or the Seattle Seahawks Hall of Fame? You think he's making the Pro Football Hall of Fame? You're crazy. Back to the question you asked me. I want to be respectful and answer your question. I agree. I do see Kelce and Hill as a lock. Kelce and Mahomes as a lock. I see Tyreek Hill at probably like a 70% chance. He has got off to an incredible start to his career. If you maybe factor it out a little bit, I think you can. If you look at the guys who are starting to get into the Hall of Fame, I think Tyreek by the end of it is going to have a pretty strong argument in getting into the Hall of Fame. I don't know how Chris Jones can be looked at as a 50-50 proposition to get into the Hall of Fame. Maybe I'm missing it on Chris Jones of what his Hall of Fame argument is going to be. He's never made first team all pro at his position. Never made first team all pro. He's only been to two Pro Bowls. He just doesn't have a whole lot of accolades. Yes, he is on a championship team, and sometimes that is enough to get you into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. I think he's just going to need a little bit more than that. Chris Jones is a very good player. I just don't get the Hall of Fame feel. I think the 50% for him is way too high. I'd put him at 20, maybe 25%. Now, the player on here, Rob, who I think is pretty interesting, is Tyrann Mathieu. They had him at 40%. I think Tyrann Mathieu was way higher than that when we come to possibility of making the Pro Football Hall of Fame. He just has accolades. You know how whenever on ESPN or NFL Network or whatever, how whenever they have a guest in that right-hand corner, they put up like all the things that you've done in your NFL career? Or when you go on Wikipedia and then it says career highlights and awards, the people who have a lot of those things got a really good chance of going to the Pro Football Hall of Fame. The people who don't have a whole lot of those things ain't really got a chance of doing it. Tyrann Mathieu has been first-team All-Pro three separate times. He's been second-team All-Pro. He's made multiple Pro Bowls. He was on the All-Rookie team. He also was on the All-Decade team. Tyrann Mathieu's got a really good shot at making the Pro Football Hall of Fame. A really good shot. You also got to factor in, too, that people like Tyrann Mathieu. And that stuff matters. People liking you and having that kind of personality, that stuff matters. So I think Tyrann Mathieu, he, at least on this, is at 40%. I'd put him on the 60, 65%. I think Tyrann Mathieu has a good chance of eventually going into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Let's get back to a Chiefs conversation here and Mecole Hardman. So I think Mecole Hardman is probably the most interesting player as we're at training camp right now. We've talked about it on this show. For the most part, the Chiefs roster is pretty set. There's not a lot of movement. There's not a lot of spots that are up for grabs. It sort of is what it is when it comes to this team. But when Mecole said this a couple of days ago, it really piqued my interest, and I think this is the quote of training camp so far.
I think it's probably one of my most important seasons coming into this training camp. So I think it's just up to me, you know, personally to do what I need to do and take advantage of every opportunity that's given to me and just, you know, gain the trust of, you know, the coaches, you know, the rest of the staff and Pat, you know, and my teammates and just show them that, you know, I can be a viable asset every Sunday or whatever day we plan on day in, day out and just, you know, continue to improve on my game as the season goes.
So it really got me thinking about sort of him and where he sits and all of that, right? So I looked this up because I have a theory. Typically by your third year as a receiver, heading into your third year, we know what you are. Now, there's always exceptions to things, and players get injured. A guy like Tyler Boyd, for example. Tyler Boyd had 700 yards his first season. He missed all of his second year. His third year, he became a star wide receiver in the league. So these are the first and second round wide receivers in the same class as Mecole Hardman. Hollywood Brown, N'Keal Harry, Curtis Samuel, A.J. Brown, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, Paris Campbell, Andy Isabella, and D.K. Metcalf. Those are the first and second round wide receivers. Rob, how many of these guys would we say that the jury is still out on? We feel like the jury is still out on Hollywood Brown. I feel like I know what Hollywood Brown is. Hollywood Brown's probably going to have 900 yards receiving this year. He's going to have 900 yards receiving this year. I'd be really surprised if he had 1,200 yards and took a massive step forward. I'd be surprised if he was healthy, if he took a big dip. We've seen now 2 years of data in that offense with the targets, with the same quarterback, to have a pretty good impression on what Hollywood Brown's going to be. N'Keal Harry, we've seen him in the same system, albeit with different quarterbacks, and he has been extremely disappointing. N'Keal Harry was available for any team to pick up. If you want to trade for N'Keal Harry right now, the Patriots are basically saying, be our guest, and nobody is interested in N'Keal Harry. Out of those names, who is a player that we think the jury is still out on? J.J. Arcega-Whiteside? Paris Campbell? Andy Isabella? Or are those fans in those cities saying, all right, we know what we have with these guys. We like them. We don't like them. We feel like we know what they are. I bring that up for Mecole Hardman is I think Hardman has a clear and defined role on this team. I think his role is to be a guy who this season can get you 750 to 800 yards receiving. And if he can take that step from where he was last year, I would consider that to be a really big win for him and for this team. It's going to be really hard to sort of crack the ceiling when it comes to this team in terms of the options that they have. It's a lot of guys that got to eat on this team. This organization spent the first round draft pick on Clyde Edwards-Helaire. He's their number one running back. He's certainly going to get his opportunities. You got two potential future Hall of Famers. One I would consider to be a lock in Travis Kelce, and you got Tyreek Hill on the other side. That's a big plate in which a lot of guys are taking big bites off of the chicken. On the other side, you've got, I don't want to say just guys, but non-star players. Mecole Hardman, DeMarcus Robinson, Byron Pringle, Marcus Kemp, Darrell Williams, Jerick McKinnon. The guys that are going to accrue yards and guys that are going to get targets and be a factor of this offense as well. Last year, Mecole Hardman got thrown the ball 62 times. He had 41 catches for 560 yards. Let's play this game out a little bit, Rob. I'll set the over-under on targets for Mecole Hardman at 80. That's him being thrown the ball 18 more times this season than last season. I'll up his yards from 560 to, let's give him 725. It's a decent-sized jump. Let's move his touchdowns from 4 last year to 6. Is that a year that you would take for Mecole Hardman, or are you trying to roll the dice and think that you'll get more from him? I would take that. If he can be a 725 to 750, 6 touchdowns, maybe be a little bit more active in the running game. He only had 4 carries last season. They used his speed a little bit more on end around and jet sweeps. And he can be a guy that can get you 850, 900 total yards from scrimmage as in addition to being a plus special teams player and them transitioning him to be more of the kick and punt return guy. I would say that's a good value for what he can potentially be in the NFL. That player has a defined role in the league.
I would absolutely take that. And I know yesterday I was kind of harsh on Mecole Hardman. I compared him to Tavon Austin. I apologize. That's wrong. He's way better than Tavon Austin. I was just using a gadget player as an example. But to your question about if I take those numbers, I absolutely would. Because in 2019, the Chiefs had a clear-cut WR2. It was Sammy Watkins. Now, I know the text line hated Sammy Watkins for 14 games, and then they loved him in the postseason, but Sammy Watkins was WR2 on this team. In 2019, Watkins got 90 targets, 52 catches for 673, and 3. If Hardman puts up the numbers that you laid in, I lock in because that means at this time, next season, we'll be talking about Hardman having elevated himself to wide receiver two. Because if Hardman does what Hardman has done his entire career, it's impossible to call him wide receiver two. But if he puts up those numbers, and we can lock that in, that's way more Sammy Watkins-ish on the numbers scale. Plus, you imagine the rush yards would be better than him than Sammy Watkins' numbers ever were. So, yes, I would lock in those numbers because the numbers you laid out are essentially locking him in for wide receiver two.
You know who I would love for Mecole Hardman to turn into? If I could, like, press a button right now and have him turn into this guy. Now, maybe it's a little bit unrealistic because this player is just a little bit bigger. I'd love for him to be Robbie Anderson. Like, Robbie Anderson is a really good player in the league that clearly knows what his role is. Now, it's a little bit out of whack is because Robbie Anderson has always gotten a bunch of targets. The last 4 years in the league, 115, 95, 96, 136. That's just not realistic for Mecole Hardman. You're not going to go from in this offense where I would say at best right now, he's your fourth offensive option. If we're saying the best case scenario for Mecole Hardman on this team, behind Hill, behind Kelce, behind Clyde Edwards-Helaire, best case scenario for Mecole Hardman is to be the fourth primary option on your offense. What does that player look like? Now, it's probably a little bit inflated because of the team you play on, the offense that you play on, and the skill position players around you. But man, your fourth option is typically not getting 1,000 yards. 950 yards receiving. It's possible, but not really that likely. If you could tell me right now we could lock in 750 yards, 6 touchdowns for Mecole Hardman, that is almost a 200-yard jump from last year. He gets 80 targets. He has 57 catches this year, 6 touchdowns, and helps you in special teams. I'd sign up for it. At some point, we got to move on from he's not going to be A.J. Brown, who was drafted in that class. He's probably not going to be Hollywood Brown, who was drafted in that class. He's certainly not going to be D.K. Metcalf, who's a top five receiver in the NFL, in my opinion. But can he be a guy who has a clear, defined role on this team? You trust him more to be on the field, and you can use his explosiveness as a clear asset and weapon for you? Like, there's no reason for a player with his skill set and as fast and talented as he is to go from 21 yards a catch to 13 yards a catch. And even though they threw him the ball 20 more times last season, and he had, think about this, Mecole Hardman in 2020 had 15 more catches than he had in 2019. He had 22 more yards. You got to turn those 15 additional catches into 220 more yards this season. I think he can do it. We'll see what happens. Keep it locked in right here. It's The Drive on 610 Sports Radio and the brand new Odyssey app.
The Drive, weekdays 2 to 6.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
You're listening to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
Okay, I have a question to ask you guys, 913-576-7610. If I gave you six teams, you can pick any six teams in the NFL. Do you feel like you'd get the Super Bowl matchup correct? We'll call it the pick six, Rob. We can play this game just me and you if you would like. Because some years, you obviously would have gotten it right. Some years, you wouldn't have. Some of you last year would have put Tampa Bay in your top six teams. Kansas City certainly would have been there. But in the NFC, especially with the buzz that they had heading into the season, you certainly would have taken, some of you certainly would have taken Tampa Bay as one of the teams to incorporate into your six. But that's not so easy every single year. I don't know if two seasons ago, you would have picked Kansas City and San Francisco to be the Super Bowl game. A couple of years ago, the Rams were certainly trending in the right direction. You remember the Rams made the playoffs and then they were all coming back and they eventually broke through and made the Super Bowl. So some people might have picked the Rams. I don't think people would have picked the Eagles to make the Super Bowl. I don't know if the Falcons would have got picked in 2016. That's the last five Super Bowls. So I think this is somewhat of a hit or miss exercise on if you can get the Super Bowl champion right. Rob, if I had to do this exercise and I could only pick six teams, I think you got to take the two obvious ones in the AFC. You got to take Kansas City or Buffalo. There's other teams that you could potentially get out of the AFC that could do it. But to me, the list of teams that can make the Super Bowl out of the AFC versus the list of teams that can make it in the NFC are drastically different. I think there's, in theory, now that Indy appears to be done, there's only four teams in the AFC that I could see realistically making the Super Bowl. Kansas City, Buffalo, Baltimore, Cleveland. Those are the only teams I could see making the Super Bowl. I just don't think Tennessee is good enough to make the Super Bowl. I think it's only four teams. In the NFC, I think you can make a case for like eight teams that could potentially make the Super Bowl. I think there's only four now. Now, Kansas City's the best out of those teams, and I would put Buffalo as second. But, Rob, is there another team outside of those four that you're like, oh, okay, I could see a scenario in which they make the Super Bowl? I don't think you could do that for Tennessee. You can't do it for any other team in the AFC West. I don't think you can do it for any team in the North that's not Buffalo or that's not Baltimore or Cleveland. You certainly can't do it for any team in the South. That's it to me. Kansas City, Buffalo, Baltimore, Cleveland. I'd be stunned if the AFC representative was not one of those four teams.
I agree. And I was doing this exercise as you were talking about it back here. Not only do I think that's the only four you can mention from the AFC, I wouldn't put a lot of teams from the AFC in my pick six. I would have the Chiefs and Bills because you know that I've been big on the Browns. I have them as a lock to make the playoffs. I don't think their quarterback play is good enough to go to the Super Bowl. I don't think anyone from the AFC South is good enough to go to the Super Bowl. So I'm basically taking the Bills and the Chiefs. I can maybe be convinced to take the Ravens, but I think their division's tougher than the other two teams, so it's a little more of a gauntlet. If I were to do the pick six, I would take those two from the AFC. And my NFC would be basically the division winners, except for I would take an extra team because I don't believe in the NFC East. I would take Tampa Bay again because I think they're going to win their division. And if you get home games with Tom Brady in the playoffs, usually good things happen. I think now that Aaron Rodgers is reported, you have to take the Packers. And then you take the Rams and the Seahawks. And yeah, maybe a Cleveland or an outlier pops up and you look wrong. But I don't think there's really a grouping outside of that six that you can be like, well, how could you possibly not have this team? I think that's the safe six, in my opinion.
Yeah, I'd take Kansas City and Buffalo. Those would be my two teams in the AFC. Like, I'd be willing to roll the dice that Kansas City and Buffalo are just a cut above those other two teams in the AFC. Now, the likelihood of it being the exact same AFC championship game 2 years in a row is probably unlikely, but I'll take either Kansas City or Buffalo will be in that game, and I'm going to guess they'll probably be the favorite in that game if it's one of those two teams. In the NFC, these are the four I'd pick for my six teams. Green Bay. I just don't feel it with New Orleans, or excuse me, Tampa Bay that everybody else does. But I kind of feel like you got to take them just because they're the defending champion and they bring everybody back.
and soft division, so you figure they can get home games in the playoffs, which usually is a good sign for Tom Brady.
These are the four I'll take. Kansas City, Buffalo, Green Bay, Tampa Bay, Los Angeles, San Francisco.
Ooh, San Francisco over Seattle. So we're five of the six we're standing arm in arm, but I took Seattle over San Fran.
Yeah, if you told me right now, I get $1 million if I get it right. You give me any six teams in the league. Will I have the Super Bowl matchup in those six teams? Those are the six I would take. Kansas City, Buffalo, Green Bay, Tampa Bay, Los Angeles, and San Francisco. When Kyle Shanahan has had a healthy quarterback, they've been a Super Bowl caliber team. They're still really good defensively. They can still run the football really well. He's still one of the best offensive minds in the NFL. I'm still high on San Francisco. I get why people have sort of moved on from San Francisco and think that that 1 year was a fluke. I just don't believe it. San Francisco feels like an 11-7 team to me. They feel like a team that has 11-6. They seem like a team that has a chance of, I would pick the Rams to win that division, but I could see them being the 5 seed, having a favorable matchup against whoever the 4 seed's going to be and making a run as the wild card team like we saw Tampa Bay do last year. I'm still in on San Francisco.
I like San Francisco. I'm a big San Francisco guy. I think the fact that they are having a discussion about playing Jimmy G over Trey Lance seems foolish to me if Trey Lance is the guy everyone says he is, because Kyle Shanahan is an innovator. If they have a raw athletic talent that can be great, I think you do that. I think their defense can take a little bit of a step back this year, but still be good. But I think I do this every year myself. I bank on Pete Carroll getting smart and stop trying to establish the run and run the ball 30 times a game and win time of possession and blah, 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 blah. And let Russell go crazy and throw it to those weapons, because they have really good weapons. But maybe you're right, because like Seattle in the playoff game against the Rams, when they were playing a quarterback whose name already escapes me because Goff was hurt, they lost because they relied too heavily on the run game and their defense couldn't stop a nosebleed. So I'm just maybe betting on something Pete Carroll doing that he's never done, but I'll go down swinging with Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson because they're known commodities just as much as Kyle Shanahan and quarterback X.
The thing about Seattle is Seattle to me, if you're saying what's the team that's much more likely to combust, like San Francisco, out of these two teams, if you tell me one of those two teams goes 6-11 next year, it's far more likely to be San Francisco than Seattle. Like the only way to me it's Seattle is if Russell Wilson gets injured. Like I don't see a scenario in which Seattle is not a double-digit win team this year. But I think San Francisco has a higher ceiling than they do. If you're telling me who's more likely to advance in the playoffs and actually end up playing in the Super Bowl, I'd pick San Francisco over them. So those are my six teams. The exercise is a very simple one. You can pick any six teams in the league you want. You can just take Kansas City and take five NFC teams if you feel that good about Kansas City being one half of the Super Bowl equation. You get six teams in the league. Do you think you'll get the Super Bowl matchup correctly? I'm taking my six as Kansas City, Buffalo, Green Bay, Tampa Bay, Los Angeles, and San Francisco. Those would be my six teams. I want to hear from you guys on what your six teams are coming up on the other side, and then we'll wrap this thing up. Keep it locked right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive, 610 Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Get off my bumper. Traffic.
Sponsored by Lowe's. Still working an accident eastbound 435 at Quivira. Multiple cars involved. Right two lane shut down. Backed up to I-35 northbound 69. Still stop and go north of Blue Valley Parkway all the way up to I-435. Great values are happening now during Lowe's Pro Summer Savings. Get values across the store, including tools, appliances, and other pro essentials. Lowe's, the new home for pros. I'm Jay Edwards, 610 Sports Radio. Get off my bumper, traffic.
We gotta get out of here.
Before we go.
In a statement just released by the mayor of Kansas City, Missouri, Mayor Quinn Lucas, we should have him on the show this week. There's certainly been a lot of happening in Kansas City in relation to COVID. We used to have him on all the time back when there were no sports relation to COVID. We haven't had him on in a while. I'm going to reach out to him and see if he can come on the show this week. He just released this statement, quote, Kansas City stands by its efforts to keep our community safe from COVID-19. With more children being hospitalized with COVID-19 than ever before, I am disappointed that the Attorney General minimizes risk to our community from an unchecked increase in COVID infections. The Attorney General's frivolous claims ignored updated CDC guidance, reports from local health professionals, and disappointingly, the real harms of contracting COVID-19. As a new father, I'm frustrated that the Attorney General chose his political fortunes over the health of our families. That is Mayor Quinn Lucas, as we are once again engaged, in a political fight regarding COVID-19. I do want to make this point really quickly. I know it's not a sports point, but I think it's a point that everyone should hear. Rob, at this point, when it comes to COVID, no one is arguing when it comes to the vaccine availability. I don't know if you saw the story or not, Rob, but there was a vaccination booth. I believe it was in St. Charles for a fair. Nobody was vaccinated over the two-day span that they were there giving out vaccines. They just had a festival outside at Liberty Memorial in which they were saying if you got vaccinated there, you were in the running to get backstage passes to a concert. They're going to upgrade your tickets. Eight people signed up for it. At this point, if you want to be vaccinated, you've already went through the process of being vaccinated. You pass places that you can get vaccinated at every single day. The grocery store, the medicine store, multiple times. You and I went to the Monarchs game last week and they were doing vaccinations there. Like, it's not a issue of availability. So you got to ask yourself a very simple question. If you are the people in power that want you to get vaccinated, either what are we going to take away for you to be vaccinated, or how are we going to incentivize you to go get the vaccine? Those are the only two options at this point. You want to know why the NFL is having so much success in getting its players vaccinated? They've made it difficult for you not to be, where if you choose not to be in the NFL, they're going to make your life more difficult. So they're not doing it the incentive way. They're doing it with the, they're going to beat you over the head with the stick. For some people, it's handing them the sugar cube. We saw in Ohio, remember when they did that? They were going to give three people $1 million once a week for the vaccination numbers going up if you got vaccinated. At this point, everybody has made their decision one way or the other. Like, I'm happy that MoStopsCovid.com asked me to do these reads for him because I certainly think it's a very important endeavor, but we're not talking about availability at this point when it comes to the vaccine. At this point, man, it's been out long enough. If you want it, you're going to take it. It's that simple. It's really that simple. Like, I don't know what to say when it comes to that. In the NBA, have you seen the Lakers roster, bro? Like, seriously, have you seen the Los Angeles Lakers roster? Like, I'm not saying that in a, it's just, like, ridiculous. How can you not believe it? Carmelo Anthony, they signed him today. He's 37. LeBron James, 36 years old. He'll be 37 during the season. Trevor Ariza. I'm not going to lie to you. I didn't know Trevor Ariza was still in the league. He's 36 years old. Mark Gasol, he's 36 years old. Dwight Howard, he's 35. Wayne Ellington, another guy, Rob. I forgot Wayne Ellington was in the league. Wayne Ellington, where did he go to school? University of?
North Carolina.
North Carolina. Kent Bazemore, University of?
Richmond?
Russell Westbrook, 32 years old. 32 years old. This will be a really good team in 2011. 2012. Maybe LeBron knows exactly what he's doing when it comes to building this roster. But you want to know what this looks like to me? Yo, we probably ain't winning the championship. So at a minimum, I just want to play with all my homeboys. Like, that's it. At the minimum, I want to play with all my homeboys. It's that simple. Because this roster on paper looks really bad. I say this as someone that wants LeBron to win. This roster looks bad, though. They know that. They can't be really happy with this roster. What about the league is getting older and not having shooters? What about the league says that's a good plan? Nothing. If you watch the NBA, you only got to watch the NBA. If you watch basketball in the last 2 years, what about basketball says you need to get older and be worse at shooting than this team does? Someone made a good point. This might be the first team full of guys who have been to Sam Goody. They certainly have a lot of people on this team that bought CDs. That's not the team you want in 2021. That's not the team you want.
I would love to see LeBron win another ring just to watch Jordan fans' head explode. And that's fine, but it ain't going to happen with this roster. That roster is great in 2011. Great. That might beat the Heat in 2011. It's not beating anyone. And this year, and not only are they old, it's old and often injured dudes. Like, they're young guys, like Anthony Davis, always hurt. I mean, come on now.
Yeah, no, this roster is really bad. No, this roster is genuinely really, really bad.
You know how I know it's bad? Kendrick Perkins said Lakers in six, and he's always wrong.
He on the payroll, man. The crazy thing about the NBA is just, it's like you know it, but every year of free agency, you just realize how bad the deals are. DeMar DeRozan signed a 3-year, $85 million deal. Lonzo Ball just signed for, what, $72 million? What about the NBA is signing players who can't shoot? These guys basically get access to hundreds of millions of dollars and choose to just spend it frivolously. Let me be the GM of an NBA team. I'd be signing great deals. I'd be a way better NBA GM than I'd be an NFL GM. Way better GM. I'd love to just randomly go to college basketball games and just pull up. You know? Oh, you know where I'm at today? I'm at Duke and Boston College. You know where I'm at tomorrow? I'm at Kansas, UCLA, in the preseason NIT tournament. I would be a great NBA general manager, Rob. You only really got to get three picks right. To be good in the NBA, you only got to get three picks right.
Got to manage that money, my man. The NBA cap, there's not enough time left on this station before on the air tomorrow to explain the NBA cap, because it's very confusing.
I agree. I'm not arguing with you. I don't argue. No one understands it. Teams certainly don't understand it. They wouldn't give out the contracts to give out. They understood the cap. You got to be Neil Tyson to understand the NBA salary cap. Back again tomorrow. Take care of yourself. It's The Drive.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.